When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them of where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for this child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you.
Dear brethren, that as we have rejoiced at the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, so by leave of God's mercy, we announce to you also the joy of his resurrection, who is our Savior. On the 14th day of February will fall Ash Wednesday, and the beginning of the fast of the most sacred Lenten season. On the first day of April, you will celebrate with joy Easter Day, the Paschal Feast of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the 10th day of May will be the Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the 20th day of May, the Feast of Pentecost. On the 3rd day of June, the Feast of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ. On the 2nd day of December, the first Sunday of the Advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom is honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Yes, even after that beautiful Epiphany proclamation, you still get a homily. In our secular world this week, it was pretty easy to pick a word that stood out. for the word of this week in our secular world is Bombo Genesis. That comes from those meteorologists who had to be sitting around with nothing to do, but it meant that quick-forming storm that blasts onto the scene, bringing drastic changes in the weather for a few days. But here in our church, the word of the week is Epiphany, meaning an event or experience that blasts onto the scene, bringing drastic change to our suffering world, and the opportunity to forever change our own lives. If we were on the East Coast, where this Bombo Genesis was forecast to occur, well, all of us would have sprung into action. We'd been gathering our salt and shovels, bread and milk. But I wonder, what, if any, action have we taken regarding the Epiphany of the Lord? When we walked into church today, were we even aware of what we are celebrating? So exactly what is Epiphany? Epiphany comes from the Greek, meaning appearance or manifestation, and refers explicitly to the exciting revelation of the incarnate Son of God has come into our world to save us from our sins and bring all people to eternal salvation in the heavenly kingdom. There's not much more you can find in our world that is more exciting than that. In today's scripture, the language is epic, the image apocalyptic, the action dramatic. It's like a screenplay that makes the Star Wars movies seem like cartoons. There's grave danger from a tyrannical and insanely jealous king, a king who mercilessly slaughters innocent babies. There are worldly men of great power, wisdom, and wealth on a long quest, following only the light of a star. There's a great escape, a long journey into the land of the pyramids, a land where the waters of the great river Nile push back the boundaries of a deadly and desolate desert. The hero child, the God-man baby, is saved in order to grow in wisdom, strength, and knowledge, so that he may bring light and love to a people in darkness, a God-man who will defeat even death. Are we getting excited yet? Light struggles against darkness. Great discovery follows a long search. Truth vanquishes deception. Good prevails over evil. A heavenly star pierces the darkness, shattering the power of sin and death. A light that reminds us that God's first act of creation in the book of Genesis was to create light in the darkness of chaos. I know you're getting excited now. And as Christians, when we look at the universe, at the stars, and at our own human nature, we're called to see how deeply we are loved by our Creator. The sun, moon, stars, and the creatures that inhabit our world are all epiphanies, manifestations of God's great love for us. The Magi are noble men who possess earthly power and great wisdom, but they're searching for something more, searching for truth, searching for divine love. And when they find what they long for, the Magi fall down and humbly prostrate themselves before a baby, an infant that they recognize as the source of that life, light, and love. What could be more exciting? The Magi bring gold to honor his kingship and dominion. They bring frankincense to acknowledge his divine being. And they bring myrrh, the ointment used for burial, knowing that the evil ones in the world will try to rid themselves of his presence among us. The Star Wars movies actually find their origin in today's scripture. And then, immediately, the Darth Vader of that day, King Herod, serving as Satan's agent, jumps into action. For evil is the first to respond to the holy light as love and goodness become manifest in the world. Why do the Herods of the world fear this child? And more important question might be, why does it seem that we so often fear this child? Why do we resist acknowledging this great epiphany? Why are we not standing right now and cheering in our pews? Why? Because evil thrives in our world. Sin and evil bring spiritual darkness. Millions of people today live in the darkness of witchcraft, drugs, alcohol, violence, pornography, and I could go on. Satan has convinced so many that they are damaged, inferior, and unworthy. When we let the world control our thoughts and actions, we struggle to know right from wrong, light from darkness. It becomes easy to turn to the dark side. It's been said that some people change their ways when they see the light, but others only change when they feel the heat. My brothers and sisters, if you're feeling the heat, you can be sure the evil one is nearby. Today, maybe more than ever, each of us must follow that star and reflect the light of Christ so love can flourish in our world. Back in 1993, officials at the Flight Control Center near Moscow developed a space reflector. This aluminum-covered disc was used by the cosmonauts in the space station to reflect light from the sun to the dark side of the Earth. With only a 25-foot disc in space, they were able to produce a 2-mile-wide area of light on Earth. One small disc that brought light to so many. How much light can one faithful Christian bring into our world? If your faith seems to have lost its luster, it may be due to our feeble attempt to produce light rather than reflect light. How much greater would our impact be if only we were truly to get excited and become better mirrors that reflect the light that is love incarnate, the Son of God. You know, it's said there are two basic reasons why people don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The first one is they've never met a Christian. The second one is they have met a Christian. The importance of reflecting the light of Christ on those around us cannot be overstated. One way we can grow in faith and understanding is to learn from the saints, those that have went before us. They are bright stars that have gone before us, reflecting the light of Christ into our world. Today, as you leave church, you'll find a representative of our Spiritual Life Commission at each door with a basket of cards that contains information about one of our holy saints. We ask that every adult and child take a card, and then throughout the next year, ask your saint to help you shine and be your personal intercessor to Jesus. Let us listen once more to the very last words in today's gospel. And having received a message in a dream, they returned home by another route. Many years ago, Archbishop Fulton Sheen famously said, "Of course the Magi didn't return to Herod. Anyone who truly comes to Christ cannot return the way he came." So our question today is this: what route are you taking when you leave here today? A route that takes you into the darkness that allows you to fall into the many evil potholes and pitfalls of our world? Or will you follow a light of love that has the power to push aside the darkness, a route made possible by the great epiphany we celebrate today? It's time to rise up, brothers and sisters. It's time to get excited. Rise in splendor for your King. Obey His holy will. Reflect His light and share His message of love and salvation. For today, our Lord and Savior has been revealed to the world.